on Tomorrow Bible Church. Please turn in your pamphlets to 477 at Calvary. Hymn number 477. And let's stand. Be seated.
Well, it's good to see each of you tonight. Want to welcome you here and appreciate the elders, as we had an elders meeting just before the service, and it's hard to pack it all in there to an hour, but we managed to do it, maybe just over an hour. Appreciate them, and I guess I could give you a report on some things from our meeting. We usually have a financial report, thanks to Mr. Lewis, our treasurer, and he keeps track of a lot of our financial details. I don't have it memorized, though, but we'll be posting that. And we have a request from, actually it's coming from Delco, to replace part of the field tile going across the north field that we have here. And I guess there's a tile there that's causing problem for our neighbor across the road, backing up there. And so I guess they're blaming it on the water company, and they're going to pay for it. Only problem is we have a septic line that gets pumped way out there. So if anybody knows where that line is, anybody know? Know about where it is? Okay. So we just have to make sure they are responsible for anything that happens with that that's going across there to the north. And then our roof, we had a man come look at our roof, and a man who is kind of an authority on the metal roofs in the area, farmer, or he does a lot of the farm metal roofs, and he took a look at it and said, it's really time for it to be painted. And some rust spots starting to show through, and so he's recommending that get painted with the silver paint. And so we're going to go ahead and have him do that. And so we talked about that. And let's see. We are going to get some no-touch hand sanitizers. Mr. Reynard has been in touch with one of our suppliers that actually has them, and we're going to put three in the building. I'll just let you know now. One by each of our entrance and exits here by the wall, and one over here. So when we come in, we can do it, no touch. When we go out, we can do it, no touch. And so we'll just have all our bases covered as far as coronavirus and the things they want us to do. So that's a little report from our board meeting. There was more items too, but other announcements. I mentioned that we're planning to go out to Kansas. We're planning to leave on Tuesday and head out to visit my wife's family. And Pastor Gossman is going to be preaching next Sunday. And then the following Sunday, Pastor Flesher will be here to preach. And so pray for us as we go. We'd have a safe trip and good time. We are preparing for the Knox County Fair. They are having the fair this year. There may be some slight changes to it, but I think they're trying to proceed as normal. And so we are planning to have our booth there in the Merchants Building, getting that ready. And we are going to be giving out some packages. Going to be giving out a Gospel of John booklet with a tract and a fan stuck in there, and it's all going to be in a clear cellophane sealed bag, so that, you know, we'll sanitize when we pack them, so they'll be clean, put them in that bag, and we can just give those out. So we're going to pack up 700 of those, and then we also are going to give out some pinwheels, patriotic pinwheels. We have several different patriotic items that are going to be there, tracks. And so we'll have a children's tract on that and give those out to the children. We have 300 of those. And we just will need some help in assembling everything. So July 24th, we're going to have a packing party here at the church, and try to pack those. And we're also going to have a bonfire, I hope, if we can bring some wood and get that together, so we can roast hot dogs. We have some roasting sticks now at the church, and thanks to the Millers. And so we use those. And and then also ice cream. Again, the Millers, you said you had four ice cream makers, right?
Yeah.
One that's a double. Okay. So can you make four different kinds of ice cream?
I can make peach for sure.
Okay. Well, that sounds good. So anybody else have a homemade ice cream maker? We have one. Bob's got one. All right. Now, ours is electric, so we don't have any. Yours are they? They're electric. Okay. Anybody have a hand crank one? Nobody has a hand crank one? I know they're out there too, but okay, that's old fashioned, I guess. So homemade ice cream social, and bring those, and we'll have that, get it going there, and then also we'll pack up the materials for the fair. That'll be Friday, July 24th, 5 o'clock. So hope you can come for that. All right. Wanted to just read our letter from our missionary here. Had a letter from the Crawfords. Dale Crawford serves as administrative director at Gospel Fellowship Association Missions in the home office there in Greenville, South Carolina. But he writes here, "Dear friends at Morrow Bible Church, as the daily routine changed for many people during the past several months, we are thankful the GFA home office was able to remain open. Missionary donations came in as normal, and the service we provide to the missionaries and churches continued. It was unusual to know most of our GFA missionaries around the world were experiencing very similar circumstances, with some dealing with even more severe stay-at-home restrictions. Online platforms like Zoom became the norm for communication with church members. While online church services have limitations, as most of us know firsthand, it has allowed some GFA missionaries to broaden their ministry outreach. People in their general area who were looking for an online church to attend, since their state church was closed, have become attendees. COVID-19 has affected our spring schedule significantly. Our annual board meeting was canceled and handled remotely. The annual week-long GFA missionary conference was also canceled. Our annual audit will not be canceled and takes place next month. Through these changing times, we have still seen short-term and career missionaries apply to GFA for missionary service. We are praying for 12 new career missionaries for 2020. Thank you once again for your support of our ministry that allows us to have an impact in the lives of over 200 GFA missionaries around the world. We pray for the Lord's blessing on your lives as you seek to serve him. Sincerely, Dale Crawford." So, all right. Would anybody have a testimony tonight? Anything you'd like to share by way of praises or prayer requests or blessings or anything else? Any testimonies tonight? I just kind of sprung that on you. So, anybody with a testimony? Good to see Mr. Ray here. He had a kind of a whirlwind trip to South Carolina to be there for his granddaughter's graduation party, was it? Celebration. So, looks like you made it back. So physically they're back, mentally they're still catching up. All right, yes, Mrs. Gossman.
Well, I shared Wednesday night, but most of you weren't here for that. Thankful for the Lord's protection and for his sovereignty. We came, we were supposed to be gone for the week, and at the last minute, there were just situations we decided it would be best that we not leave. Marvin was gone early Monday morning, and I was still laying in bed at 6:30 in the morning, and I heard a crack, and I heard a kind of a squish, and I, when I investigated, I found that there was this huge maple tree that was laying straight across the middle of our garden. It had, basically, it had crushed probably about 30 plantings of cabbage and broccoli and whatever. But so when Marvin got home that evening, we took the branches off the things that it was on top of, spent the next day cutting everything else up, put around. But even in that, as I probably lost at least 75% of the leaves on the plants. The center growth of every plant was still there. So there's still potential, whether it develops fully or not, it remains to be seen. But it could have been a lot worse. It could have wiped out a lot more of the garden than it did. I could have been out working in it when that tree fell over. It was appeared to be a very live, full tree. But I'm thankful for the Lord and that he knows our needs and he knows what we don't need.
Amen. Praise the Lord for safety. Gossman's had a tree fall. on their garden, thankfully not on their persons or houses or buildings. So praise the Lord for safety. All right, anyone else? Yes.
I appreciate your prayers for my cousin Jonathan. A number of you know him. Jonathan's life was a life that was spent serving, and he was a godly young man, and really appreciated him. Remember, he went to college at Ohio State and had an agricultural degree, but after going back and working on the farm for a little while, he went to Bob Jones to help to serve there. At that time, they had an agricultural program, which closed about the time that he got there, a year after, and then he ran their garbage system at the university, and then he moved into the maintenance, vehicle maintenance. He worked. I've talked to a lot of different people that he fixed their cars for him. He had a little garage at his home, but Jonathan wanted his children to serve the Lord if they would. He had his boys come. Maybe you remember his boys that came to camp as an assistant to Jerry, and they were here when they were here. He was wanted to come help when we had Jim Page was going to come up and do the brickwork. Didn't know Jim, that would be Frieda's brother that they were with us at the starting of the church. But Jim was going to come and help with the laying the brick out here on the new addition. Jonathan said, "Well, I'd like to go," you know, so he could come up and help with that. He was one that was always helping. They would go on vacation. They would come to our place, and they're going to be there for maybe 3 days. And he'd say, "What project you got?" He'd ask ahead of time. "I want to do a project when we come." I mean, they put the little garden shed on the back of the garage. He helped. He helped me run the water lines to beds, flower beds around the house. Around the yard, he had a strong testimony. He was faithful there in the church that they attended there in Greenville. In fact, I think he goes where our missionary, the Crawfords, go there. And his testimony in the midst of his cancer, even. Right up to the end, it was the quoting of scripture and the confidence in the Lord and just knowing that that's the Lord. He was a man that loved the Lord. It's just a blessing to have those that we know that have faithfully in every way they can served the Lord. And so it's a great legacy. And I'm sure that the family has appreciated your prayers and even for his wife now, as she seeks to recover from this surgery, well, she had part of the lung removed. As he was going down in health, she wasn't recovering fast enough to be able to be there to help. And so they had to call in a lot of help for Jonathan these last days. I praise the Lord for a godly man that has been a testimony to our family and even to some of us.
For the Henning family, as Jonathan Henning passed away yesterday and battled cancer for some time. All right, anyone else tonight? Yeah, sure.
I want to thank the Lord for someone giving me a helping hand today when I was out of that little trouble.
Shirley got some help from somebody. She had some trouble. All right, anyone else? Yes, Jenny?
It's been a blessing to be able to talk to my neighbor more this summer. She's on her, she's not on her prayer list now, but before the quarantine, Rachel and Jason Stanley, they were always on her prayer, Wednesday prayer sheet, but she's had really bad migraines for several years, so it's kept us from being able to really see her outside. But lately we've been able to talk, and I just thank the Lord for that, because I haven't talked to her about the Lord yet, but just being able to build a relationship with that family.
All right. Able to talk to our neighbors a little more. We've been out. And we've been out. Jenny has
been out.
So, thankful for that. All right, anyone else? Wanted to mention also the note, put it in the bulletin, but we got a note from the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. She was on our prayer list last month as we pray for elected officials. And sometimes, usually I let them know we're praying for them, and sometimes I get a response back. And she responded with a note, and the Ohio justices are elected. And that's unlike the Supreme Court of the United States. They're not elected. They're appointed. But the justices in Ohio are different. We do elect those justices. But the Chief Justice, she was on our list, and she wrote a note. She said, "Dear Pastor Howard, I was so touched by your email and the fact that your prayers are offered for me at your Wednesday night prayer meetings. The work of the Supreme Court is rewarding, yet it can be stressful. Knowing that your prayers are for God to bestow wisdom upon me is quite comforting. Thank you. God bless you. Sincerely, Maureen O'Connor." So Maureen O'Connor is the Chief Justice of the Ohio Supreme Court. Right, and then just another current events item I'll share with you. If you need any more current events to know about, but there was one that came in this week yesterday that I saw that had to do with churches. And this is an article by Todd Starnes. You probably have heard him on the radio some. But this was posted on conservative news website about something that's gone on in California. And he writes, "Golden State Christians have been ordered by California's governor to stop singing in church." The governor of California has ordered California churches to stop singing. And Todd Starnes writes, "This is a direct assault on the First Amendment, as I warn folks in my new book, Culture Jihad, How to Stop the Left from Killing a Nation." Quote, "Californians are still free to attend their house of worship, but they're forbidden from singing or chanting," read the lead paragraph in a story published by a California newspaper. New guidance for places of worship was issued on July 1st, and part of it says, quote, "Discontinue singing in rehearsals, services, etc., chanting and other practices and performances where there is increased likelihood for transmission from contaminated exhaled droplets. Consider practicing these activities through alternative methods such as internet streaming that ensure individual congregation members perform these activities separately in their own homes," the 14-page order reads. The previous guidelines only encouraged churches to strongly consider ending corporate worship, the Sacramento paper reported. The governor's office did not indicate how he intends to enforce the law. Can you imagine the optics of National Guard troops storming into a California churches and arresting choir members for singing "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God"? And then he interviews a pastor there in the West, Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church, which is an independent Baptist church. You know, it wouldn't be exactly the same as we are, but close to it. And he was interviewed by the Todd Starnes Show, and he said that his congregation plans on singing even louder. The pastor, Dr. Chappell, said, first, the state told us when to worship. Now they're telling us how to worship, he said. We've been patient and safe, even wearing masks. Our church will sing to the Lord Sunday. The heavens declare his glory, and so will we. And Todd Starnes says it really is the only proper pastoral response to such an unconstitutional edict. Pastor Chappell says, we've watched our elected leaders pray and sing with demonstrators in the streets. We invite them to join us Sunday to see we actually practice social distancing and will obey the scripture to sing and admonish one another in the Lord, Pastor Chappell said. And so it's concerning to hear that, and I hope it doesn't get to that point in Ohio. I think we're still allowed to sing. I know various churches have had different responses to what to do about that, and some have stopped singing. So we haven't come to that yet, and I pray that we don't have to. But anyway, just thought I'd share that with you, and we'll sing. So let's have our next song here.
Our next hymn will be 126, Rock of Ages, and let's stand.
Joshua again, Joshua chapter 4. I invite you to turn there. Joshua chapter 4. We saw a major event last time in Joshua 3, and that was the crossing of the Jordan River. God had brought his people right up to the brink of the Jordan, and he had instructed them during that time. The leadership changed. And Joshua came on the scene. Joshua was going to lead the people after Moses. And we saw how God led them through the Jordan. Miraculous event. And here as we come to chapter 4, we see that the subject is the making of a memorial for that event. God wanted his people to never forget what he did for them in opening the Jordan River and allowing them to cross on dry land. So God was very concerned about that. This isn't the only time that God established a memorial in the scriptures. The Passover feast itself was kind of a memorial so that God's people would never forget the Exodus and his leading them out of Egypt. So he gave them this feast to practice every year so that they would not forget what God had done for them. We see other memorials being created. Samuel, the prophet, makes a memorial in 1 Samuel 7. And he called the name of it the stone Ebenezer, saying, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." The Lord's Supper is a kind of memorial. As we observe that this morning, it's not a memorial of stone, but it is a memorial, something to help us remember the Lord's death. And the Lord is concerned that we would remember what he has done. And so we find here in this chapter, first of all, the instructions given for these stones of memorial. Look with me at Joshua chapter 4 and verse 1. "And it came to pass when all the people were clean passed over the Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man, and command ye them, saying, Take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. And Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, Pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take ye up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in the time to come, saying, What mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests which bear the Ark of the Covenant stood, and they are there unto this day." So we see the instructions here for giving, for getting these stones. And where do they come from? They come from God. God instructed Joshua to do this. This was not a matter of Joshua making a name for himself or building some memorial for something that he did. No, this is something that God said that Israel was to do. He did it to help them remember. So we see the instructions were given. One person from each tribe was to go and to get those stones from where? Not from the riverbanks. They were to go and get them from right where the priests were standing with the ark, right there in the middle of the river, to get those stones and to take those back for a memorial. You know, that was very fitting that they would take them right from the middle of the river. They would be able to remember that those were the stones they crossed over on. They may have walked on some of those stones. The priests were standing on some of those stones. So God commanded that, and then Joshua ordered that selection of the stones. It was to be a sign for them, a mark or a symbol. And then a memorial, as he gives instructions, he explains that, verse 7, "These stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever." Last week, I mentioned something about the current events and all of the memorials that are being torn down in our country today and what that is doing. But one commentator says this, really in connection with that, memory plays an important role in any society. Without a memory, a person loses identity. Without a history to sustain it, a society and the world around it become virtually phantom. Any society that hopes to endure must become, as sociologists put it, a community of memory and hope. You know, that's more of a just an observation from history, that when a community, a country loses its memory, there's something very central that is lost to that society, to that country. And we see that God is trying to impart that same idea to his people, that they not lose their identity, they not lose their memory of what God has done. You know, the fact that God wanted them to build this memorial shows that, most importantly, God wants us to remember what he has done. That's what they were remembering. They were remembering the fact that God had parted the rivers of the Jordan miraculously. God wants us to remember things that he has done. And I think that the same could be true for our own lives personally. You know, we've maybe never experienced a dramatic miracle like that, but perhaps it's the miracle of God's providence, the ways that God has ordained in our own lives. God wants us to remember what he's done. Same way that he helped Israel to see how they needed to remember what he has done. And it also shows us something about ourselves, and that is we have the tendency to forget. God knew that about his people. He knew that, you know, unless they do something, they were going to forget this. Time would go by, greater distance between what had happened. They'd get settled into their homes, and eventually they forget what God has done for them. And so God gives this memorial, these instructions to them, so that they recognize that tendency about themselves, and so that we recognize that. We have the tendency to forget, as individuals, as a church, as a country. We have to make an effort to remember. Then we see the people obey the command. Verse 8, children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded and took up 12 stones out of the midst of the Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged and laid them down there. You know, it was a simple act of obedience, but there's a lot that could have gotten in the way of that. They go across the river. They're on the other side. You mean we got to go back over there? We just came through there. How can I be sure that that water's not going to come down when I go grab those rocks and come back? You know, here, we've gotten our families across already. We've got our livestock. We've got all our belongings all the way across this river. We've crossed. Now you want us to do what? Go get stones? You know, maybe they were thinking those things. I don't know. But they obeyed. They obeyed without question. And notice verse 9, what happens here. Joshua seems to go and set up another pile of stones. Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests which bear the Ark of the Covenant stood, and they are there unto this day. Seems that Joshua maybe took another step for himself, perhaps. He decides that he's going to make a memorial there, right there in the middle of that river. Why does he do that? I don't know. Maybe he just wants to take that second step and right there in that river, in the place where they walked, set up those stones. And maybe they could be seen above the water, maybe not. But he wanted to go and memorialize that, perhaps even for himself. So we see the instructions that are given. And then in verses 10 through 18, we see some promises that surround the stones. In these verses, there's a review that takes place. We may feel like, wait a minute, didn't we already read that, verses 10 through 18, chapter 3? We already know what happened. But Joshua states some of these things again, and we see some of the promises that are fulfilled in the midst of this in these verses. Notice verse 10. For the priests which bear the ark stood in the midst of Jordan until everything was finished that the Lord commanded Joshua to speak unto the people, according to all that Moses commanded Joshua, and the people hasted and passed over. It came to pass when all the people were clean passed over that the ark of the Lord passed over, and the priests in the presence of the people, and the children of Reuben, the children of Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh passed over, armed before the children of Israel, as Moses spake unto them. About 40,000 prepared for war passed over before the Lord unto battle to the plains of Jericho. On that day the Lord magnified Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him as they feared Moses all the days of his life. The Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Command the priests that bear the ark of the testimony that they come up out of Jordan. Joshua therefore commanded the priests, saying, Come ye up out of Jordan. It came to pass when the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord were come up out of the midst of Jordan, and the soles of the priests' feet were lifted up unto the dry land, that the waters of Jordan returned unto their place and flowed over all his banks as they did before. And the people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month and encamped in Gilgal in the east border of Jericho. Notice here there's a promise that's kept by the Reubenites, Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. If you remember back from chapter 1, Joshua had a word with those tribes. Those are the tribes that were given the land on the east side of the Jordan. So they had already come to their land. And Moses had an agreement with them that they could have that land on the condition that they go with everybody else and help them fight and take the land there on the west side of the Jordan. And so here we see that promise being kept. Those tribes, the Reubenites, Gadites, half-tribe of Manasseh, they lead the way with their 40,000 warriors, and they pass over. That was a promise that was kept in the midst of this. And there was a promise about the respect of Joshua. Remember that God had promised before this crossing took place that he would honor Joshua. He would increase the respect of Joshua among the people, just like he did with Moses in the crossing of the Red Sea. Very same thing happened with Joshua. Joshua crossed, and the Lord did this. Verse 14, the Lord magnified Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him as they feared Moses all the days of his life. And then there's a promise of the safe crossing of the Israelites. We're told here about how all the people crossed over, and then those priests that were carrying the Ark of the Covenant, they crossed over. And the moment they took their feet off of that ground in the midst of the Jordan, that water came churning back. And not exactly sure how and when that happened, whether it was whether it was starting to come back while they were still walking out. Can you imagine that? Hearing the roar of the water come from 20 miles upstream, and they're walking through, and the very moment that their feet come out of that riverbed, the water comes rushing through. Maybe it was like that. I don't know. Could have been. Or it could have been just the moment that they got out, God let the waters go. I don't know. But anyway, he kept his promise about the safe crossing of the whole nation of Israel, crossing the river. And these stones were to be a memorial to these promises that were kept. And then finally, we see really the ultimate purpose of these stones, verses 19 through 24, or 20 to 24. And that had to do with education. See the education by the stones. Verse 20. Those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, When your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean these stones? Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until ye were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over. That all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye may fear the Lord your God forever. The stones were to be a teaching tool for future generations. How was this to work? Well, they were to teach history by parental instruction. That began with children asking questions. Children are good at that, aren't they? Most children ask a lot of questions. What does that mean? What is this for? And that's okay. God knew that that would happen with these stones. He was talking about children looking at these stones, this memorial, and saying, What does this mean? And who was to do the teaching, the answering of their questions? Well, it was supposed to be parents, fathers. They were to ask their fathers, saying, What mean these stones? And ye shall let your children know. So there was to be a teaching of history by parental instruction. There was to be a teaching what God has done for his people in past history. Then you shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. The Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you. They were to teach what God had done for people in the past. You know, the Old Testament basically is a history of what God has done for people in the past. And that's what they were to teach. They were to teach the things that God has done. And they were to appreciate that and to identify with it. Be thankful for everything that God has done for his people in past history. They were to teach by even comparing events in history. Verse 23. The Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until you were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over. The Lord wants us to teach what God has done for people in the past and even compare those events to other events before them, just like what goes on here. They were supposed to tell their children about the Jordan River. And you know, that was really similar to what God did 40 years previous to that at the Red Sea. And there's many more situations like that, whether it be in Old Testament history or whether it be in American history or world history. God wants us to teach what he has done for his people in the past. And then he wanted them to teach God's goal for history. He wanted them to teach that this was not just all about Israel. Notice verse 24. That all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty. You know, God did that not just for his people. He did that so that the whole earth, all the people of the earth would know that God's hand is mighty. That's what he's doing for us tonight. He's showing us again that God's hand is mighty. He's the omnipotent God that can do anything. You know, God may or may not give us a miracle like he gave to the people of Israel. In fact, when you look at the Bible, there are, it's not like God did a miracle every day in Bible history. He did certain miracles, and then he told them to do this, to remember what he did, and to teach it to other people, teach it to their children, so that they would know that. And we can learn the same thing. And God wants people of the earth to know through this event that His hand is mighty. And then they were to teach personal reverence for God through history. Verse 24 again, the last part. That ye might fear the Lord your God forever. To fear God is to have a proper attitude towards Him, to be reverent, to have respect for God. And God wanted this memorial to be set up so the people would not forget. They would learn to have a respect for God, who He is, and what He's done. Will we truly be able to have a right attitude towards God if we don't learn what God has done in history? I don't think so. We will only have a right attitude towards God if we know what God has done for His people. So He led His people across. He instructed them to build this memorial. You think about what you would have thought that first night. You're on the other side of the Jordan. You've seen everything that God has done. You know there's Canaanites all around you. They're powerful. You might have been a little afraid. What's going to happen to me, to my family? Are we going to make it through this whole ordeal? But you would have that day seen the hand of the Lord, that it was mighty. And so I hope you would have been able to lay your head down on the pillow and trust the Lord that night. If you were there, or even if you weren't there, tonight even. There's a lot that we don't know ahead of us, but we know the hand of the Lord is mighty because of what we've seen in the past. And we need to make sure that we don't forget it, because God knows that we forget. And we need to make sure that we remember what He has done. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thank You for Your mighty works. Thank You for leading Your people through the Jordan by this miracle. Help us to learn the lesson we need to learn from it. Help us not to forget what You've done in our lives. We know our tendency to do that. We pray that we would learn from Your scriptures, from the record of Old Testament history, that Your hand is mighty. We thank You for this portion of Scripture that we've seen tonight. Help us to put it to practice in our own lives, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's close now. We'll sing the last song in our